University City native Jamie Cox Entwee moved away from the St. Louis region for college. But like so many who grow up in the area, she felt a pull to return. Cox Entwee got married, settled in the McKinley Heights neighborhood, and ran for office. She wants to use her position on the St. Louis Board of Aldermen to make the city a place where even more people want to move. The alderwoman from the 8th Ward, the newest member of the board, joins me next on the latest episode of Politically Speaking. Let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, the definitive show about Missouri politics.
We've seen a county government that has had smooth and steady leadership, and I think we're on a good path right now.
I realize the office needed a prosecutor to run it.
And we have a better solution of addressing those needs.
I don't think it's about a popularity contest. What I think it about is it's time for change.
Working together across city and county, across political affiliations, that we can start to find overlapping goals.
I had some moments where I had to, you know, lean into my courage.
You'll see us work together on areas of agreement, and you'll see us have difficult conversations when we don't agree.
And welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, Rachel Lippman. Joining me on the show today is...
Hi, I am Alderwoman Jamie Cox Entwee.
She is the recently, fairly recently elected Alderwoman of the 8th Ward. Came in July, I believe. And this is your first time on the show because you are a newly elected Alderwoman. So introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Rachel, for having me. It's really great to be here. And again, it's great to kind of be the new kid in town on the Board of Aldermen. For those that don't know me, I am Jamie Cox Entwee. I am a born and raised St. Louisan. I actually grew up in University City. And I come from a family of four generations of St. Louisans. So my great-grandparents on my both sides moved here. A little bit about me is that I've always been someone that's been very passionate in community ever since a young age. When I was 14, I actually founded my first community organization, which got me interested in just kind of helping out and giving back. And ever since then, I've been very invested in that. When I was growing up, it was unfortunately at a time when there was just a lot of violence happening in the community that I lived in. And at the time, we had tragically lost a classmate due to gun violence. And so I realized, you know, looking at some of the peers that I was seeing in high school, coming to high school just sad and dejected every day, it really moved me. And I felt like someone needed to do something. And I didn't know what that something was, but I decided I wanted to write a letter to the mayor of my community at the time. And that person actually wrote me back. And so that started a conversation about what could we be doing to address gun violence? What could we be doing to actually hear the youth in the community more? And that's how I decided to name it the University City Youth Society, because I wanted to create a group that really would just allow us to uplift our voices and give some of these ideas to the people in leadership.
How are you seeing the work that you put in there play out for the youth who are now in University City High School?
Yeah, well, one thing that I noticed is that there was actually now a platform to have better engagement when it came to things that were happening in the community. So the University City Youth Society is actually a mayor's youth cabinet still to this day. So the leadership of that area decided to actually embed the society that I started into government, which is really cool because that allows young people that want to engage in the government to actually have a vehicle to do it now. And that didn't exist before I started it. I also noticed that... just as I got older and was moving around in my community, there were a lot more safe spaces for youth to be able to gather. At that time, folks that were in that area may remember there was always a lot of conflict with young people in the loop and things like that. And so once we had that platform to really engage with the government, the police, those kind of conflicts died down. And I think it really, those conversations really helped catalyze some of that.
How are you translating that into your governance now at the Board of Aldermen?
Yeah. Well, first, one thing that kind of stuck with me from that experience is it's really important to listen to young people. When I was running for alderman, one thing that I really wanted to do is be able to centralize the voices of young people even in my campaign. That's why I was able to have so many students that were in high school and college and recently graduated from college get involved with what I was doing and really help me talk about what young people want to see from the city of St. Louis. I think that all starts back from that moment, remembering when I was a young person and somebody listened to me. The other thing, you know, I think I took from that, and one thing that I'm hoping to be able to centralize in how I govern now as an alderman, is making sure that I always center the community's voice in any decision that I make. I think part of our roles as public servants is to remember that we are the voice for the people and not the other way around. And so I always want to listen to the people of the ward, get their feedback on how I'm making decisions, because that's ultimately my job.
And in the 4, 5, 6 months that you have been in office, as you've been listening, what are they telling you about what they hope your legislative agenda is at the board?
Yeah, well, one thing I heard from people, both then and now, how as I've been serving for the last 6 months, is that people of St. Louis really want to see hope in the city again. They want the city to grow again. They want to have safe spaces to be able to gather and raise their families. For over the last couple of years, really since COVID, people have constantly been talking about, we need to bring more families to the city of St. Louis and more young families. And I actually think, you know, my family that I've embodied, I have a 1-year-old daughter, is really, you know, the type of person that the people of St. Louis are looking for. But in order for us to be able to do those things, that really starts with getting to the root of what our problems are, why people don't want to live in the city. And I think one of those major things that I've heard is the city needs resources to be able to serve the people. We need to be able to have resources to invest in safety, to invest in jobs. And ultimately, that comes down to one thing, which is money. The city of St. Louis really needs money. And that's why the first serious board bill that I've sponsored as an alderman is actually the bill to help fund the government for the next 5 years. I'm sponsoring the earnings tax legislation. But I think even though those things are not necessarily the most attractive, those things are how we solve the problems that the people of the city are constantly telling us we need to address.
So you are obviously protecting with that legislation a source of revenue that already exists. How do you get the additional money to fund some of what you're talking about here?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think to start with that, you have to understand how the city of St. Louis operates in the first place. We obviously overall have a budget, but then we have something called a general revenue fund, which is the operating budget. And the earnings tax represents a third of that. And so in order to be able to grow a budget, you have to be able to shore up your baseline, which is why I'm hoping to be able to renew the earnings tax in 2026. But then once we do that, then we need to start talking about how we grow those sources of revenue. And ultimately, that comes down to people. Everybody in the city of St. Louis helps pay to fix our roads, to fund our public safety systems. And so if you want to grow your budget, you need to grow the population and help have more people paying into those tools of dollars. So it does start with shoring up that baseline, but exactly what you said, we need to be able to ultimately grow it from there. And that's bringing jobs back to the city, investing in small businesses so that small businesses are able to exist here and pay into those sales taxes that also help fund our city. And so it starts with that. But then, like you said, we need more people to be able to grow the money ultimately.
How do you keep people in the city when safety and schools are sort of the top issues?
Yeah, I think to start with that, you know, people want to be able to build a life in any community that they're living in. A lot of the times that starts with just being able to have access to a good, fair-paying job that can get them the benefits they need to sustain their families. And so one thing that's really important to me is being able to grow those opportunities. I also think we need to grow the city and bring some construction opportunities back. Construction jobs are some of our most important union, fair-paying jobs that provide those benefits that help sustain families. And so I think we need to create more opportunities to have jobs like that. And exactly what you said, education is something that's really important to me. When I was growing up, like I said, I got that scholarship to ultimately be able to go to college, but that was a product of a lot of opportunities that were given to me when I was young. And I think we need to provide those same opportunities for the kids of the city of St. Louis so that their parents can feel confident raising them here and helping them start a life here.
It all sounds incredibly good in theory. How do you put it into practice? What can the Board of Aldermen do?
One thing that I'm really passionate about working on is creating more opportunities to invest in affordable housing in the city of St. Louis. As we saw in May, we just had a devastating tornado impact our community, and a lot of housing got destroyed. So the Board of Aldermen needs to come up with a creative solution to be able to catalyze rebuilding in the communities that we've lost, but also building more affordable housing across the city of St. Louis, including in my ward. some of those things starts with being able to attract those developers that we know want to create affordable units, maybe offering some sort of incentives or partnerships with the city to be able to do that. But I think the Board of Aldermen needs to focus on some of those long-term tactics. And that's how we start having a conversation about investing the city in the long term. And I ultimately think that's one reason why the people of the 8th Ward trusted me, because they recognize that a lot of my skill set is in those areas. And I think one thing I want to do is help push the board to start having more of those long-term focused conversations.
You've been in office since July 11th was the day that you were sworn in at the board. What have the last, what are you looking at now, about 5 months been like?
Well, I think it's definitely been like drinking from a fire hose. And anyone that's ever had a new job can probably guess why. You're learning the ropes. You're learning who people are. You're learning how the city works. And so, the last 6 months have been a lot of doing that and just getting to know City Hall. I spent a lot of times meeting with different department heads, everyone from the director of parks to the director of the special events office, and getting to understand what they do. It was really important for me, if I'm going to be able to serve, to know who I need to be connecting my residents to when they call me with a question. Then I've also been, you know, spending a lot of times with my neighborhood organizations, learning the people that have been in the neighborhood for 40, 50 years, learning some of the challenge areas. And so it's been a lot of learning, but then it's also been a lot of starting to do some of the things that you asked me, which is figure out my agenda and what I want to be able to get done to help fix some of the problems.
What's been the biggest shift that you've noticed in your assumptions about how the city works or maybe doesn't work?
Well, I think if you want to run for office, it's probably because you feel like some things aren't working that you want to fix. And so I knew going in there were a lot of things that didn't work well in the city. And so I realized, you know, there's a reason those things aren't working well. And it's not because the people that are in those departments doing their jobs every day aren't good at their jobs. The problem is our city does not have the resources to be able to serve us well. Now, realizing that, I'm starting to ask myself why. And what can we do to fix that?
And what are some of the whys and what can we do's that you've, you know, started to learn and think you might focus on?
Yeah, well, like I shared, one thing that I really want to do is take a deep dive into how we're funding different departments. And is there a way we could be better allocating the limited funding that we have? I also think we need to take a look at solving the second half of that problem, which is getting the population back up to be able to financially sustain the city. And that's where those things, like I said, come in. Being able to create an attractive, affordable housing stock that can generate the property taxes to pay into our city's budget. Creating job opportunities that can generate the earnings taxes to pay back into our city's budget. And finally, I think we need to have a serious conversation of what we're actually talking about at the Board of Aldermen. I would say, honestly, sometimes we spend a lot of time talking about challenges and issues instead of getting to the root of what some of those challenges are. And I think people want to see from their city leaders us starting to have these really hard conversations, because we're getting to a point where if we don't have them soon, it's going to be too late.
You just had the quintessential aldermanic experience of your first snowstorm as an elected official. Did that specific experience teach you anything?
Yeah, I think it taught me that St. Louisans really don't like ice, which is something that I've known living here my whole life.
But I mean, can you blame them?
I don't either. But I also think seriously, it made me realize just how important an alderman is to the constituents and the people. An alderman is kind of your first line of defense to trying to get in contact with your city. I honestly appreciate, you know, being able to be that translator for city services for people. That also being said, I think, you know, part of my job is not only being able to answer those constituent calls, but also get to the bottom of some of these really difficult problems, which is why does the city struggle so often with snow?
Mayor Spencer made some pretty big promises about what snow response was going to look like in the city. That was a central part of her campaign. Do you think that she delivered on those promises with this most recent snowstorm?
I think the mayor did a great job of communicating to the people what the city can expect. And I know that's something that she promised to do. And I think she delivered on that aspect of her promise and really communicating what the snow plan was, what the response was. That being said, you know, as someone that has to drive a car down the street every day to do the work that I do, was it perfect? No. But I'm also new to public office, and I get you can't solve a problem that's been existing for a very long time in just your first year. I think there's work that the mayor needs to do to help make sure that we have a better result in the future, and I'm definitely willing to partner with her to get the city to where it needs to be.
So we've talked a little bit about what some of your legislative agenda might look like as you get settled and, you know, learn the ins and outs of the city. What else are you hoping to add to that list of things you want to tackle?
First thing is really hopefully getting the earnings tax legislation through next year. I think that is going to be critical to being able to sustain the city long enough to do all of the things I want to do. But once we get beyond there, I think focusing on investing in affordable housing is really, really important to me. Focusing on bringing jobs and opportunities back, including in downtown St. Louis, and being able to sustain some of the major employers that we need to ultimately keep our city going is very important to me. And one other thing that I'll mention that we haven't talked about yet is creating a city that is really livable for the next generation of St. Louisans. More walkability, less cars, more density, more things to do like markets and shopping areas. I think a lot of people, when they picture an urban city in the 21st century, they picture those things. And I want to focus on making our streets safer, making it easier for people to bike instead of having to drive everywhere in the city, because that's what I'm hearing people want to see.
You do have a background in financing for community projects, affordable housing, kind of that space. How are you using that right now to consider the legislation that you're voting on?
Yeah, I would say one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is how much aldermen spend making decisions on legislation that has to do with development in general. And I think, you know, people see a building come up and they may see their alderman writing a letter of support or against that building. But there's a lot of decisions behind the scenes when it comes to zoning, which is how we decide what gets to go where in the city of St. Louis. When it comes to how we're financing projects and whether the city is offering incentives or not. So all of these things are actually really important tools that I've been able to experience in my professional life that are allowing me to be able to critically analyze some of these decisions that I'm making. And so I'm using it every day.
I know that May 16th tornado did not directly impact your neighborhoods. I'm a little curious about like the different lenses that you would have been looking at the city's response through. And I want to start with 8th Ward resident Jamie Cox Entwee before you were elected. What was your thought kind of as a resident, maybe someone who was considering a run for office back in May? What did the city's response look like from that perspective?
Yeah, I think, you know, just my visceral reaction as a resident at the time was really sad, because actually my mom's family is from the west side of the city that was massively impacted. And so I felt that.
Is everyone okay?
Yes, yes. Okay. Everyone is okay. But seeing the devastation and remembering places that I used to drive just quite often as a citizen when I was really young was really hard for me to process. And so I definitely, you know, was really invested in watching us bring relief to a lot of the people that suffered in those areas. And what I will say is I think the city could have done a better job of acting more quickly. And quite frankly, a lot of the work that was done on the more immediate sense was actually done by a lot of grassroots organizations that really stepped up to provide meals, provide resources, and come together to address that urgent need. And so I do think that was a gap that, had those organizations not stepped up, we would have seen a lot more devastation than we did. So that's just my honest, you know, before I was even elected, assessment of what happened. That being said, I think there is, you know, only so much those types of organizations can do. And I think the challenge that we're in now is someone needs to start having a long-term plan of how we rebuild those communities. And I would say, I think now being part of those types of conversations, we need to work a lot faster.
And what do you hope that any conversation about the long-term future of the north and west side of the cities includes?
Yeah, well, I think the first and most important thing that we can do is be able to allow as many people that have had the legacy of living in that community to be able to stay in that community if they choose to. And I think it's really important because, quite frankly, as a person of color and Black person, that area is really important to the history and longevity of the Black community in the city of St. Louis. And so I think that's something that we can't afford to lose. And so I think that's really important. But I also think we have to have an honest conversation about what that rebuilding looks like. And I think the truth of the matter is that community was already not up to the standard that it should be. So we're not just trying to rebuild an area. We're trying to rebuild and reinvest in an area that hadn't been invested in, quite frankly, in decades. And so I think we need to have a conversation from that frame. And what does investing look like? And I'm hoping that even though I'm not an alderperson over that area, the type of legislation that I'm going to be putting forward to help make sure housing can be affordable, to invest in small businesses, will ultimately help catalyze what I think that investment should look like in those communities.
And what are some of the legislation you're thinking of introducing or tools that you know of from your day job that you think could be helpful in the rebuilding process on the north and west sides?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that I'm taking a look at is looking at the context of some of the opportunities the city of St. Louis has right now. And without getting too in the weeds for your listeners today.
This is what this is for. Go as deep into the weeds as you want.
Well, there's a couple of really important things happening. One, something people may have heard of, is called the ZOOP, right?
So that's zoning. Zoning, something, urban plan, zoning.
Yes.
What's the O in there?
Zoning, I think it's up. Actually, I don't remember off the top of my head, but use plan.
Okay.
Is the ZOOP acronym.
ZOUP.
Yes, ZOOP. Because we just had the SLOOP, which was the previous
strategic land. Strategic something urban plan.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. Acronyms galore.
Acronyms galore. But yes, so the ZOOP plan is one thing that the city is working on right now, which we'll take a look at what I said, those zoning maps that we have over the city that help us decide what can we put where. The other thing we're doing is we're creating neighborhood plan areas. So this is the Plan STL plan that you may have heard of. And we're actually launching a Zone 4, which is in the North City area very recently. But those plans take a look at not only how we use land, but what people want to see that land be. And that's when we start talking about things like grocery use or healthcare uses and those things. So layered together, the bottom line is the city of St. Louis is going through a process where we're trying to decide who we want to be as the future of the city. And that's a really cool opportunity that we have. But the way things often happen is it's not the government deciding what gets built, it's developers. And a lot of the times in the city of St. Louis, we think it's developers that are people that are building the big things, like what I have going on in my ward, Millennium Hotel and the Railway Exchange building. But what the city of St. Louis needs is actually people to develop on a very small scale, people to rebuild those corner stores that were devastated in the tornado, where maybe someone lived on top and had a little bodega on the bottom, people to rebuild the duplexes and triplexes that the city of St. Louis is used to seeing. We don't really have a plan to help people build those things in the city of St. Louis right now. And one thing that I'm trying to bring from my experience working development is how can we make it easier for developers to come into communities and build those things back? And I think there's a lot of things that we can use and put in place in conjunction with some of the development plans that we're already having to make that path easier. And I think if we do that, development will happen a lot faster, not only rebuilding from the tornado, but also building back in the areas like Soulard and Benton Park and Lafayette Square that I represent, where we have a lot of vacancy, but we don't really have a tool to do anything about it.
As you've worked in the community development space and are maybe looking at projects elsewhere in your day job, what are some tools that you have seen other cities use that you would like to see St. Louis start thinking about using?
Yes, well, one peer city that I've been taking a lot of a look at that was able to kind of do that really well is Denver, Colorado. So Denver, Colorado had a situation where their downtown was kind of completely vacant, and they needed to recatalyze getting people interested in investing in that area again. And so what they created was kind of an overlay area in their downtown where they were able to make decisions about incentives or partnerships in a different way that maybe did in the rest of the city. And I think that is something that when we talk about how can we get development back in downtown St. Louis again, we could take a look at. And that's, again, a longer conversation as we think about what ultimately the zoning will look like in the city, because we're going through that process right now. But that's just one example. And that's actually worked in a lot of cities, in Nashville, Tennessee, and in Minneapolis is another example of a place that did that. The other thing that I will say is really important is having the city take a look at how we can make it easier for the units that we're building to be affordable. So I mentioned I work in the affordable housing space. And part of the challenge with affordable housing is even though you want to make something cheaper for the person that's ultimately going to lease the space, it takes just as much money to build a unit of affordable housing as it does a unit of market rate housing, right? And so there's often a gap with developers that are trying to build housing at a lower cost to ultimately the people that are renting it. And that gap can get filled in a couple of ways. It can get filled with partnerships from a local government, or it can get filled with partnerships from a federal government or even a private entity that is able to keep that cost lower. And so I think the city of St. Louis really only has one path to making those costs cheaper, which is something called tax abatement that you've probably heard me and my colleagues talk a lot about. But one thing that I want to do is give us more tools than just that. There's a lot of technical ways that cities have created these more creative zoning incentive plans. And that's something that I think the city of St. Louis could really benefit from to help make things cheaper for developers.
And we'll be right back after this quick break. And we're back on Politically Speaking with 8th Ward Alderwoman Jamie Cox Entwee. And you do represent the eastern half of downtown, and there are three or four big developments that I think everyone is top of mind for everyone. And I want to go through them and get your, you know, take and talk on them. And the first one is Millennium Hotel. Demo is underway on that, so that's super exciting. Is the demand for what the developer is promising going to be there? Or is this just going to be something that shifts people around from elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I would say definitely. You know, what we're seeing in St. Louis right now is a real interest in trying to find things that are entertaining, activating, and quite frankly, new. A lot of the office that's in downtown St. Louis has been there since before I was born, quite frankly. And so that's part of why when big organizations are thinking about moving to St. Louis, they'd rather go and build a shiny new building than invest in some of our commercial office space, which is creating a problem for us. And so I think the demand will come from the fact that this will be a very new and state-of-the-art commercial building that will be at the grade and level that a lot of businesses really want to see, because quite frankly, you don't necessarily have to have an office for your business in this century and anymore. A lot of people are having their businesses work from home. And so organizations that want to be able to bring people into the office have to have state-of-the-art amenities in order to be able to attract them. And I think this development will definitely have those. I also think, you know, there's nowhere in the St. Louis metro area that you can have the proximity to activation, nightlife, restaurant, and sports than that riverfront portion, right? That is unreplicatable land and area. And so I also think that will be very appealing to people that want to have residences or even small businesses just have that proximity to basically all of our region's major sports teams within a 10-minute radius.
What do you do then with some of that older office stock that people aren't as interested in? You can't keep building new and just having people move into those new buildings and leaving like an AT&T or a One Metropolitan Square or some of the other buildings that we think about when we think about downtown office space.
Oh, 100%. And that's why one thing I would really like to see is us be able to convert some of that office space to residential. Because like I said, one thing that we really need in St. Louis right now is more housing, updated housing, and affordable housing. And I think if we're going to get people back in the city, they have to have somewhere to live. Now, I know that's easier said than done. And I know at the state level, we've been having a lot of conversations about how the state can help us incentivize some of that conversion. So anyone listening to this, I encourage you to legislature to visit that in 2026.
Have a feeling not much is getting done in the legislature in 2026.
Oh, but you are Correct, but I can keep hoping.
I appreciate the optimism.
We definitely need that. And if we don't get that, I think, like I said, this is where we need to have some serious conversations about what we as a city can do to help make those things happen. Because it is very hard to repurpose towers at the scale that we have them in our downtown St. Louis with commercial property if we don't consider a residential option. Because quite frankly, that's what a lot of cities that are seeing success in reactivating their downtowns are doing. They're making it a place where people want to live.
You do have some residential redevelopment going on downtown with Mansion House. A kind of similar question to the office space. What is there for people in downtown to draw them to want to live in downtown?
Yeah, well, I think one thing that'll hopefully be really appealing to the people that are going to be moving into that space is the reactivation of nightlife, entertainment, and restaurant in downtown. And I know a lot of people, have maybe not taken a truck downtown recently, but I've been spending a lot of time on that eastern portion of Washington Avenue that I have. And we have really great amenities.
So that's between, like, what, Tucker and the River, roughly?
Yes.
Okay.
Roughly, that's kind of my half of downtown. I share some overlap on that side with Alderman Aldridge. But in my half, I have a blues museum. I have a movie theater. I have a lot of great restaurants. And I think those are the types of things that people come to a downtown for, to have that walkability and access to restaurant and evening activities. And I think, quite frankly, in the rest of the city, we don't have anything like that. And so I think those are the things that are available for people to do. You also can walk from the Mansion House area to the Arch and back to the Arch grounds, which is a green space that, again, you can't really find anywhere else, maybe outside of Forest Park. I think those are the types of things that are there for people to do. But that being said, I know we need more. Right. I know the reality of the situation is we have what I like to call my gap stretch, which is my void between Ballpark Village and the America Center. And that's where one thing that I really want to be able to do is be able to infill that space with small business owners and restaurant space. I think we have a lot of underutilized storefront office space in some of our vacant commercial buildings. And I would like to be able to help landowners reactivate that. And that will hopefully attract the businesses that we want to see to be able to bring more opportunity for things for our downtown residents to do.
Is there anything going on right now, aside from the city investing in the security at the Railway Exchange building? Is there any update you can provide on what next steps are there?
I don't have a concrete update at this time. What I will say is what the city is hoping to see from that space is someone that can not only activate the security of the building, but also activate the adjoining parking space. I think and understand, quite frankly, one cannot happen without the other. And so I think what we're having right now at the city is conversations about what that can look like to help address the overall problems that we're just seeing on both of those properties.
And what is your dream development for that space? I mean, that is a massive building that is going to take a lot of work to get into any kind of shape to be able to redevelop because of the ongoing security issues there. But in a dream world where, you know, money was no object, what would you want to see go into that building?
Yeah, if I had Jamie's dream call of that space, which maybe hopefully I can bring up, I would love to see a mixed-use residential high-rise that also has some entertainment value. And I think for the reason that you said, right? A lot of the times when people are choosing to move to a downtown apartment or downtown loft, it's because they want to be able to walk easily to something to do. One thing that's really cool actually is Meow Wolf in Denver, Colorado, which is like an immersive
Santa Fe too. There's Santa Fe, Las Vegas, Denver. I forgot what the fourth one is, but
yeah, it's like those immersive like spaces with a lot of cool colors and things to look at. And
an acid fever dream, basically.
Yes, which is really freaking cool. Yeah. And those are the things that I think people want to be able to come downtown and do, right? So, Meow Wolf, if you're listening, St. Louis is a great place to be, and I hope you consider the Railway Exchange building.
Last kind of big development in that area is Gateway South, which is just south of the Poplar Street Bridge. And we'll get to the fire in a second. But what would you say to someone, and I count myself in that category, that is just downright skeptical that any development is going to move forward there or that there's even going to be a need for what they're promising?
Well, I would say there's definitely a need because there's always a need for, things to do and opportunities and specifically jobs, which is what the folks at Gateway South have been trying to convey, trying to recreate that sort of manufacturing ingenuitive space that used to exist on our riverfront. That being said, I don't want to diminish the fact that obviously that's going to be very hard to accomplish, right? And I think one thing that, like I said, is the challenge of being the alderwoman of the 8th Ward is you have all of these really big, large things going on at the same time that need a lot of resources. And so to that, I would say, and I have shared this publicly with folks that are working on that space, I think we need to envision it one chunk at a time. That is the only way we're going to be able to accomplish that project. And if we look at it one chunk at a time, then I think there is a need and, quite frankly, demand for every aspect of what they're talking about. We do underutilize our riverfront space for residential living. Our river is the biggest asset that we have.
I think we criminally underutilize our riverfront for just about everything.
Everything. It's beautiful. It's a big body of water. And so would people want to live closer to the river if it was a beautiful view? Yes. So residential could succeed there. I also think that the riverfront is a major commercial asset. I've been learning more about barges and trains than I ever thought I would in my life. As alderwoman of this ward, but it is really important for us. And so St. Louis does still have a very attractive natural access to the manufacturing industry in that way. The challenge will be, how do you create beautiful residential views and manufacturing in one area? And I think it's possible. And I think that's where you're asking me, where does that development skill set that you have come into play in your aldermanic life? It comes into play there. Because cities have succeeded in doing that all the time. Philadelphia actually did a beautiful reconstruction of their riverfront area where they still have their commercial activity, but it's done in a way that you still have the walkability and the bikeability that people want to see from living next to a river. And I think we can create that in Gateway South.
How much will that fire that took down one of, I think, was supposed to be like the key hallmark landmark buildings in that area, how might it complicate it or even perhaps make what they're planning easier to do in a tragic way?
It goes without a doubt saying it's complicated, right? Because now you have damage to a historic structure that was going to be very key into the preservation aspect of what we were hoping to be able to do in that space. But it's not an insurmountable challenge. And what it does is it creates more of an expedited time frame to make the area safer again, which is really important. You don't want to see these structures become dangerous or crumble in a way that is, quite frankly, damaging to the life around that area. And so that is a conversation that needs to happen very quickly. But also, I think we have to take a look at, you know, then what does the footprint of development in that area look like? And those are some of those long-term conversations where it may be a challenge, but it doesn't make it impossible or not necessarily easier, but it's definitely more of a challenge.
What projects outside of those downtown areas are you most excited about to see come up in your ward?
Yeah, well, I think, quite honestly, the energy of what's happening in the 8th is maybe starting downtown with Railway Exchange AT&T, which is also mine, and kind of expanding out. And so a lot of folks may not know, there's also a lot of really exciting opportunities that are happening on the streetscape. Not only 7th Street, which was happening, Shoto, which is being done in partnership with MoDOT, and then also Gravoy. And that's something that I'm actually really excited about and hoping to get accomplished in kind of the next month of my term, which is starting to take a look at making some of those streets safer that connect people back from the residential areas to downtown. And I know a lot of folks have been, quite honestly, highlighting some of the, you know, tragic circumstances that we've been seeing on Gravoy with, you know, pedestrian deaths and challenges to cyclist safety. So one thing that I'm working on is actually deploying some safety improvements along Gravoy in the next year to hopefully add medians, address that, add safer signaling for pedestrians. And so I'm really excited about that and excited to talk to my residents about what that will look like in the coming months. And then beyond that, you know, some of the other areas that I have the eastern portion of Cherokee Street. I have South Broadway in the Marine Villa area. And I'm hoping to be able to take some of that energy and, again, create that connectivity back there as well.
Because of the election calendar, you'll be up again in 2027. Do you know if you'll plan to seek a full year, 4-year term at that time?
I certainly will.
All right. Politically Speaking is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, which is part of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Jamie Cox Entwee, 8th Ward Alderwoman, thanks for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Until next time, so long.